of one or more of these 12 points are placing a barrier between themselves and their chance to win. Now, a lot of these are, you're going to resist. I know you're smiling, you say, oh no, but somewhere inside of you, you're going to resist accepting some of these 12. So let's get it out in the open. Don't let me go through all 12 of them if you don't agree without you voicing your disagreement. My experience has been that when people get over accepting these, any of these 12 factors, or all of them, they start winning. They start automatically picking the correct baselines, automatically picking the correct contenders, and automatically wagering on, handicapping the kinds of races that will pay the higher mutuals. We have been told by everybody I've read since the beginning of handicapping literature that you must play a very recent race and you must not consider a horse unless he's raced within X number of days. Any of you ever buy a system or a method where it didn't have some rule about how many days you could go back? Horse hasn't raced in X days, don't consider it. I'm sure that nobody has ever purchased a book or a method that did not have a 28-day cutoff, some 15, some 7, some 14, some 12 and a half. And it's called condition cycle. And it's often called, mistakenly and erroneously, form cycle. Anybody in this room remember themselves when they were 16? Try for 8, 7, 5 years of age. How much different are you truly now than you were then? Think about it. In your perception of things, in your joys, in your sorrows, in your emotional reactions to behavioral things, how much have you really changed? Oh, you have a facade of adulthood, understand, but we're really very much as we were as children. When we think, when we visualize, when we express ourselves, who are we expressing ourselves through? We're expressing ourselves through our child, are we not? Anybody think they're expressing themselves, that you're having internal dialogue as an adult? No, you're having it as a child, probably the same child you were at 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. It's exactly the same with a horse. A horse's behavioral cycle, as far as you can determine, unless you get back issues of the thing the racing form puts up, the lifetime histories, the horse's behavioral cycle starts with that bottom race. His condition cycle, which is mistaken for behavioral or form cycle, can be determined at cycling intervals. But his condition cycle has only to do with how he feels physically, how that horse feels emotionally, how that horse's behavior orientation has been established, was established the first time he was brought out of the gate. So you're dealing with a behavior pattern of an animal that's identical to your own. So anybody who tells you that you can't go back by rhythm, by rule, you can't go back to any line if it's appropriate, is misleading you. My son's average mutual is $13.40, 60% win average. You will see as he goes over some of his races, he's picking pace lines that you will, if you have any sense, if you have any sanity, you will question. And he makes mistakes. He gets the wrong ones. And he also gets a lot of correct ones. I use a bad term here. I said wrong. There is no such thing as right or wrong in this. There is correct or incorrect. If you win the race, it was correct, no matter what anybody says. If you lose the race, it was incorrect or inappropriate for that race. So let's get the concept of recency out of our heads. A horse, the statistics on recency presented by the Ainsleys and the Quirins and the various people who wrote Frederick Davis's are based on mass statistics. Did you know that 100% of all winning horses are ridden by jockeys? That's a statistic too. So if you want to win 100% of the races, folks, bet on all the horses that are ridden by jockeys. Did you know that except in the cases of disqualification, the horse that crosses the finish line first always wins? So just bet the horse that crosses the finish line first, you win 100% of the races. Statistics can be very, very amusingly misleading. And the statistics on recency are the most misleading of all. So a horse is liable to respond today to any previous race in its behavioral cycle, so long as that race represents an upward slant of its physical condition cycle. And we will go tomorrow over the specific ways of determining whether a horse is in condition. Dick Schmidt, when he was learning this, wanted to show off how smart he could learn this. He learned to recognize patterns. We found a horse that at Xarben in Omaha, Nebraska. We had the winner. The winner was pretty obvious. It was going to be the favorite, but it was a trifecta race. And we needed the horse. We could pretty well have the show horse. The horse could do no worse than show, but we need the place horse. Dick went back and demonstrated that he had finally learned this lesson. And he found that 8 races ago, this horse had done something precisely as it had done in its last race. And 7 races ago, it had placed. Ergo, he said it's ready to place again. It's ready to run the race that was in place because the circumstances, the matchup, things in today's race were very much like that one. 7 races ago, which the horse had given a hint what he was going to do 8 races back. Well, Dick touted the sound of that horse. We agreed that his reasoning was sound, and that trifecta paid over $1,000. It's the first time that Schmidt ever had a ticket that paid over $1,000. That's spoiled him. He's had so many sins. So don't believe for 1 minute in anybody's rules about recency, even about how long a horse will be late. You can find out how a horse runs after a layoff. Go down and see if he's ever been laid off before. You find some horses run better after a layoff. Just learn to recognize those patterns. Don't make up any rules or accept any rules. The second one is, and this kills so many people, this doesn't stop them from winning races. It stops them from winning a lot of money. And that's man-made class determination. Whoever told us, I know who it was, and so do you, that $10,000 claimers are just about the same as every track and field. Is that right, Tom? Winners don't think that. You have certain horses, certain class levels, who ship very well to Santa Anita. You have some that ship very bad. But it's not because they're called 10,000 or 6'5 or 20 or 18. You have to know the limitations of man-made class levels. Too many of us say, well, that horse ran for $25,000 last race, and he's dropping to 8. That's a suspicious class drop. So I can't bet that horse because that's too big a drop. The horse has never come in the money since last time it ran for 8. That's an $8,000 horse. Too many people think that because some owner or trainer thinks that it's horse is now worth $32,000, then he's supposed to be a $32,000 claimer. The man-made class levels are just that. Now, you know what the average trainer's winning percentage is? 21% is good. Lucas Whittingham. Luke Whittingham's down to 19%. Friend Lou back there knows a guy who actually had 26% records to train. That's phenomenal. Back from exhibition partner. Canada, who's doing 65% on a regular basis. And then 1 week he had a little off week and a lot of his horses were coming in second and third and his win percentage dropped. So the first thing, what did he do? Find out how he should get back up. He consulted a 19% trainer on what was wrong with his spending. And you're laughing, but when I pointed this out to this guy, he wondered why we were making fun of him. I thought it was a soap opera. The best trainer up there was 21%, the other was 19%. You know they both told him? They don't have to register the use of butte. And that's why your horses that shouldn't win are not winning. Because they're giving butte to these ones that your horses got in second because they're being hit. The reason is he didn't recognize need to lead horses. So we got him on the right track. But a 63% winner having a bad week going to a 19% trainer to find out the answer is, you laugh. Also, it's okay to laugh because that is ludicrous. That would make a good stand-up comedy routine. If there was anybody to laugh. But horse players would never laugh at that.
Well, sure you would with a trainer.
Man-made class levels are not as good. A delineation of class or whatever horse belongs in a race, that's the simple ABV and class program that we originally came up with and as was improved upon by Dick Schmidt. So, my son doesn't know about claiming prices. He made a mistake yesterday. He said, that horse is $50,000 claim, and he'd run for a 30-some-odd-dollar purse. He's dropping in class, he's running for $27,000 a day. Dick said, no, he's still a $50,000 claim. He didn't know that. Dick had to go make a horse player and explain to him what those claiming levels were. He classifies him on APB in class, first thing he does. And that's not perfect. But it's a lot better than saying a $25,000 claimer who never did anything except at 12-5, trying to say that he's a $25,000. Anything a man has anything to do with, folks, is suspect. A horse is far more predictable, far more reliable, and certainly far more honest than the human manipulators in racing. And anybody disagree, please raise your hand, let's talk about it. Everybody's entitled their opinion here. One thing that I know a lot of you are going to secretly want to protest, and that is thinking in terms of beaten legs. Every time we give you an esoteric number to read up, you say, well, how much is that in beaten lengths? Anybody of you ever asked that question? How much of that is in beaten lengths? Let me tell you something, folks. Horses are not beaten by lengths. Beaten lengths were made up by the English back in the days of Queen Anne and afterwards, just to kind of give a human perspective on how to describe something. Watch the finish line of a race. When the winner crosses the finish line, blink your eye and see where the second horse is when you open your eye. Horses win and lose, lead and trail behind by infinitesimal fractions of seconds or thrust of energy, not by length. Length is a man-made term which means nothing. Don't worry about how long a length. You've got 10 feet beaten lengths, and in one program you got 4 feet beaten lengths in one class. It doesn't matter how long a horse is. It's how long a horse is relative to a mathematical formula. So don't think in terms of length. Think in terms of units of energy, or in the case of phase one, those numbers, think of them as energy. The horse has an 82.5, and the other one has an 83. Don't ask how many lengths that is. One is better than the other. Horses are not beaten by lengths. Anybody want to contest that? See, what you've been doing is all your life you've been told, well, he's 4 lengths better than that other horse. How often have you had a system so this horse is 4 lengths better than the other horse? Therefore, he's the one you've got. He wins by 2, or he doesn't win at all. These lengths, predicting of the horses by lengths, is going back to the dark age. Here's the worst one of all, and it's not Bill Guerin's fault. How many of you read Guerin's definition of early speed? Okay, any horse is first, second, or third, and then 3 3/4 lengths of the first spell, wins 64% of the races. First, second, or third, within 3 3/4 lengths of the first spell, can get the difference between early and sustained. But if you're doing a statistic based on position calls and lengths, you can't blame the guy who gave you that statistic because he doesn't tell you anything. He tells you something for that statistic. That is not early speed. You know what's wrong with every system or method you ever tried? You know what's, when I say wrong, I don't mean morally wrong, I mean why they don't work. You know where they got their statistics? From what source? The lab? Yeah, but what part of the race control? Anybody? The results charts. You try doing a statistical study that is predicting of races from the results charts, and you will lose every time. The results charts only tells you what that particular matchup of horses did after the fact. Now, wouldn't it be nice, folks, if we could get those results charts and bet them? The only way you build a predictive method, the only way you can make yourself a predictive profile, is to take it from the past performance chart, not from the results charts. The results charts tell you only what that array of horses did with that particular inner exchange of energy and physiological and psychological aspects did on that one given day against each other. They do not predict what a horse can do against the field he's going to run next to. So you have to see what a horse can do relative to the matchup of the race before it's run. That will produce an entirely different aspect that you get. You get statistics from results. We try to do it from results charts, because I thought that's the way it's supposed to be done, so we all smart people. We got that one. Only when we did it, pass the vote and tested our ability to predict, which is after all what we're all in this world, is to predict. Did we start to move? Early speed is very important to see visually, only in determining early horses that have to run early. If you see a horse, always going to see it out in front. It's all right to call that early. But you really can't, when I say you, I'm being rhetorical, there are people who can make more exceptions to anything. The general person cannot really distinguish any other kind of ESP just from the visual watching the race. We have a program we'll show you tomorrow for those who get serious with it that measures a horse's running style ESP by its energy yield, as opposed to just saying that horse is a presser or that horse is a sustainer. The TBR program does an excellent job of this, because it is purposely skewed. The numbers of the third fraction are purposely skewed from the second call to demonstrate an early or a final fraction bias in the horse's style of racetrack. Now that's a point I want to get into, because any of you who have read or have misconstrued TBR as being just another mathematical numerical rating service, I want to disabuse you of that notion. The notion was one of our attendees stated we had. He thought that it was very much the same as Ray Thomas, for example, Bill Burns. But I pointed out that it's something he knew. He didn't realize he knew it until he said it. Talbot, Quirin, Quinn, these PEQs, every other so-called pace rating system has combined second call with final time. Read the part in the book that explains the vast difference between what we've done and that. By including third fraction, we change the whole equation by skewing the values of that third fraction so they're not comparable to the second call. You get the imbalance of numbers, which enables you, and then we'll show you tomorrow in the demonstration, enables you to detect immediately whether that is a late running horse or an early horse. Putting several lines through, you will know precisely how a horse exerts its energy, not how it looks running around the track. Yes, sir. Have you bought the book yet?
Not
quite. TBR merely, we don't have any ratings. Don't, you don't do better than that. I shouldn't have known you tried to have a rating. Hanging around Ron Cox too often. TBR stands for
absolute base rating. It's a combination of the early base rating and the fraction rating. And we have skewed the value of the final fraction so as it stands out like a sore thumb as to the bias of the race. Now, for instance, with the Talbot or the Quirin numbers, we've got a horse around 45, 110. The horse would have a 100, 100. What's that telling you? Give him 200. Great. So another horse has a 44, 110. What is he going to get? He's going to be running too fast, too early. He's going to get the same thing. 100. 200. He's going to have 101 and 99. And we don't know anything. We don't know whether that's early, late, or what. This bit, proceeding with TPR, the horse doesn't get penalized for running a fast third fraction. All those other things penalize the final fraction. We have a very noted guy that Hamilton always wins when he's with, which is not, he's not a lover. It's not because he wins so much as the other guy loses, because he constantly insists that the faster the second fall, the more chance the horse has to win. There are several races in this manual which, if you take a look at, $113 horse, $44 horse, $50, large payoffs. We don't put $8 payoffs in manuals. Once in a while, comedy relief. But who needs to be shown how to get an $8 horse? Every one of these horses won solely on its FFR, when it had sometimes a horrible EPR, because that's the way the track was treating winners. Santa Anita, supposedly early. All these guys would think it's early. They forget when it rains and dries out, and that's true. It changes. So they sit there a while, that be early. Well, they just get time. Come on, long. They're going to keep that bet, and they find out there's 5 days to go, and they're down $6,000. They're not going to recover. They don't like how the parkers can't figure it out. What happened was they couldn't figure out Santa Anita because it rained. All the time was winning. Big wins from final fraction. I kind of rub it in this manual, because when the guy wrote that the final fraction was meaningless, and that he said, let's test your logic. I'm quoting. Long ago, Frederick Davis and Bill Quirin in a national study proved the insignificance of a stretch game. Therefore, by extraction, the insignificance of the word fraction. Anybody? Nobody laughs? That's not funny? Well, now it's what? You believe it? Hey, there is no correlation whatsoever between a loss or gain in the stretch, which is a position change, and the time, the velocity, the energy yield of the third fraction. They're apples and oranges. And yet this guy has he's one of those pile higher and deeper guys, a PhD. He says that there's no significance in the third fraction. Hey, Eric, how many of your horses won for the number one third fraction versus you won? Three out of your five. We're going to show you his exercise. Okay, well here. You won this one with the winner was number one late. Now you win this one. Number one lead again, you know? And they didn't have very much going for them early. So different distance. Early was winning, they had trouble winning. Well, anybody ever tell you the race has success, folks? If you can bet, if you ever been to a track where they let you bet the winner at the end of the set call. If your horse is in the lead at the set call, they pay you off. If you ever try to go to the one and say, hey, my horse got the call, the second call lead, maybe. You've got to wait till the race is over, friend. It ain't over till it's over. But your experts seem to feel that there is no significance in the third fraction. But we're going to send them all a free copy of this and all these things. And my poor stupid son doesn't know all those expert things. They've never read those books. Didn't know some of these races. Okay. Now let's talk about pace cars. How many of you believe there's such things as pace cars? Got some confidence. Let me explain to you. There are final time cars. You know why? Because the pace of the horse and the pace of the race are the same at the final time. In other words, the horse crosses the finish line first, he's the pace of the race and the pace of the horse. you would believe in taste parts, just think about it. If you average, let's say, how many ever winners you can find, you don't average the winner's time the second time you use the taste parts, do you? You average the taste of the first time. Okay. What wins? When does the pace of the race win?
Wire to wire.
Wire. Who said wire to wire? Only when the horse goes wire to wire would a pace par have any application. Otherwise, folks, it's the greatest deviation from pace par that wins the race. Simple as that. And yet you've got a guy right up here in North America who's selling pace pars all around this country. And people are buying them, and people are losing them. And we're not listening to them. And think there's such a thing as pace pars or stroke or something. Our final time pars won't. Pace pars represent only what a wire to wire. How many times do you know how to lose wire to wires? You don't make a living on it. Don't make a living on it, but wire to wire horses sell the day more than 60. So if you believe their pace pars, come up and talk to me and we'll discuss it. Or you can argue now. I don't know. I'm talking softly because one of my delegates says he remembers the audience at the microphone is too loud. If it gets too loud, if I get excited. Sure. Please do.
Please remember.
Like you're one of us.
Yes. There is such a thing as a pace average. And you can add up the second four times for 100 races.
What Dick was alluding to variance services. And $10,000 cars was variance for me. We found out a long time ago that point of racing four variance was 0.08% in that area. And therefore that a point of varying racing form was computerized or systematized, if you want to use that word, methodology wise, was worth half. TBR program. James Sprung, some of the more sophisticated experts said, well, this is guys who that's a big flaw in that program. Everybody knows the racing form variance. Now, good. How can you know the racing form variance? You're back to 1,000. All right, I like that. That shows spirit. Okay, here you go. And I proved this back in the 80s. But like Nick said, I didn't look at the old news. So for 9 months, $10,000 cars, and Tom says, well, I'm going to 45. Well, Tom goes merrily along many days, and then it's fallen all over the place with these $10,000 cars. He's no amateur at this. He learned how to make it. He and Tom Rowe have to squeeze in. Well, you bought him from a well-known service in Reno.
Two winners, and that many months. I know guys that think they go 85% of the winners.
APR gets you 10. Anytime it won't, it's 10,000. Well, that's true of anything, isn't it? Hey, there are some. But believe me, I'll show you one here where the horse is 11 EPR number one FFR. Okay. A lousy GPR. But if you understand how to use that program, this is the old show you tomorrow. I'll show you tomorrow. If you understand how to use that program, learn how to use it to see what the balance is and what's winning. 11-1 does not bother me. Now we put in 5 horses, put in 5 horses. But that one proper place can be as significant as the most complex tender spectrum you can do. Just learn how to use it. Keep running with it. So adjustments. So-called part-time adjustments are spinning your wheel. We have one of them. I wish you were here because I've got him on tape and he was said, your top programmer used to believe in this. Absolutely. He used to change baselines, change the running times to fit bars. He got up and knew on the seminar in his last one and said, he does that, he lets the program adjust for it. So it makes, at the best, it makes one winner difference in 21 races, and that one is not always in his favor. Sometimes it's in favor. So when you get a guy like that, famous, risks a lot of income, but I'm going to say my point. I know that we found the truth at last, and that is that there's nothing wrong with the racing form variant. There's nothing wrong with 0.08 and 0.8 variant. There's nothing wrong with making your adjustments from dream race bars as opposed to the other solution for the advanced program is very similar. It produces the same horses, and it's based on cars are not created by man and by averaging. Cars are created by the energy of the horses running against each other. That makes a lot of sense if you think about it. But that anything makes sense in horse racing is immediately suspect. So what are the cars of a race? Who can run the best first fraction? He's the first fraction car. Who runs the best second fraction? He's the second fraction car. Who runs the best third? He's the third fraction car. So you measure them each against the best in the race. Ray Talbot said it, he was right. The ace of the race is the class of the race. The class of the race. You measure them against the class, whoever comes out best in the end. Just according to that standard, gives you just about the same class as 0.08 or 0.9. Hey, we tested it. It's been 9 months. I did it for years, but my computer didn't get hard with it. Your money will take good money on the phone. Not because he necessarily believed that it was right. He wanted to be able to tell people who told him he was all wet, but they were all wet. What does he care about? Well, I don't know why you think that. I'm disappointed. You thought the par was better.
Listen, the first day we used the par, I gotta tell you this story. The first day we used the pars, they were just marvelous. I used them. First day we used them, this is the greatest thing. Look at this, we're getting it down to a tenth. A tenth, that's a foot. Racing car. So we went on for 11 months to prove the fact that they really don't work. They worked that time, and they worked as good as. But the problem with cars is they were made up this week, reflecting what happened 2 months ago, or last week. Where we really got a rude awakening is they changed the racing script in Del Mar. Cars were made from the previous meet at Del Mar. And guess what? These guys were buried. They were 5 weeks into the meet. They hadn't won a race yet. They're saying, I don't know what's wrong with these cars.
Racing weren't real good at them. But that wasn't real racing. They were going to wait for San Diego when they had real racing. That's what they really said. Jim Bradshaw, who Jim Rush referred to it, he doesn't, he's not quality.
I don't believe no dang pars. Old horses don't run against no pars, they run against each other.
He's right. Horses, I never, you ever know a horse that prescribed and subscribed to a part-time service? Alright, here's one that's our pet peeve, and in this one I know that even though you may not voice it, you have a lot of resistance. And that's the exaggerated influence of trainers and jockeys and throwing owners in the morning, throwing any given other view. You know, there are two kinds of human beings on this earth, more than two, but for our purposes, some men and women, not as many women, but women are better half. manipulate anything. They feel that the stupid horse, they can't even talk to it, and when they do, it won't talk back. But this horse could be, would know more about horse racing than men does. Every time you meet a guy who's a trainer, statistician, trainer expert, that you can find that man believes in human manipulation. And he will never be happy. He will be neurotically unhappy if he feels that the control of anything is taken from the hands of man. To think that poor stupid horse could actually run on his own, probably do better than the jockey on his back or with a trainer. But the horse really runs the race. They've only said that. Now, a lot of us have been conditioned in our life to believe that man is the master, manipulator of the law, and that it is our ego. But we believe that it's very difficult for anyone to tell you that trainers and jockeys have very, very little influence as far as you can do anything about it over the outcome of a horse. Now, you could argue for a little bit, but we've got a number of trainers around the country who are clients who use the method for purposes of placing their horses, looking at their form cycle, their fitness, what they can do, what kind of matchup they should be engaged in, who they should be not engaged in. And some of them are manipulator types, some of them are egocentric, some of their own men, some of each other. But no less than Charles Whittingham, Jones, what's Jones' first name? Gary Jones, I'm not sure his father's name, right? Carol Jones. And what were the two brothers? Studi brothers, and although I don't know, I personally know one, he said it, Wayne Lucas, who lies with the horseman, all of them tell you that, he said it on the national television, Charlie Whittingham said it on the first day of the Jones Studi brothers, they can only take behavior characteristics of their child, they call it running style, we call it behavior pattern syndrome. So all we can do is determine what that running style is, what that behavioral pattern is, and optimize it by working on its physical condition. He said, if you try to change, you'll be sick as I am. If you try to change the running style of a horse, and that's why his horses don't win longer races for that. That's his son's race. One time, when he recovers, you find a horse that can go early in. The rest of them all die in the lead. Well, look at Houston, 3.5 to 7 furlongs in a mile and a quarter race. They can't do this. When they get this big ego trip, they think they can change a horse, they find out very fast. Every trainer I've ever known, whether I know him personally or just pretty making off the cuff, will tell you that you can't do any more with a horse than a horse can do on its own. All you can do is get it. Those same trainers, the ones who I know very well, Jones's the Studi brothers, and Charlie Whittingham. You got to hear Whittingham on the subject. I won't say it very late, but he was three or four letter words. But he blames everything on the size 3 hat. He takes our numbers and says, well, those look good, but if you tell that size 3 hat to go out and take the lead, he gets 14 lengths in front and back before he hits the half mile. You tell him to hold back a little bit, he holds back 14 lengths, and nobody. Can't ever catch up. He said the size 3 hats are the worst part of the race. He didn't have to have a size 3 hats. He would be more successful. We all say the same thing. Your clients can scratch their horse anytime they want. I can't. Meaning you don't have to bet. He can't get the veterinarian to scratch him at the gate. He's made a mistake. Overnight. He's got to run that horse. And they're importuned by the racing secretary. Folks, they call and say, hey, George, I got a field of 6 and I want to make it 9. Listen, I'll fire a race for you next Thursday if you'll give me a couple of runners today or one or whatever. And that goes on all the time. And you think that they all get the condition book that comes out way ahead of time and they know just where to place their horse. Folks, the condition book comes out so late and so messed up. They have just a except in stakes races, they have only a faint idea of who their horses are running. So this idea that anybody who clings to the belief that jockeys get together in a little club and decide who's going to win this race, or the trainers all get together and decide who's going to win this race, or the one trainer has an angle that he's going to win this race because he knows his horse is ready. He's got eight other guys who think the same thing. What do they do? Say, it's your turn today, Joe. They don't do that. Let me do one. You may hear about they did it on the seventh race last Thursday, and now you think that happens all the time. Sure, anything can happen once. Yes, Mr. Steele. Is minimal. You have a better chance than the trainer.